Time to join our film and TV correspondent, Sarah McMullen. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm well. I'm feeling I should be going ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. You have the Christmas spirit.
Oh, I had the Christmas spirit about 80 Christmas films later. It's waned somewhat, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, no, that's a bit tragic.
It is a little bit sad. The initial aim was to watch all the Christmas movies I could find on everything, so free to air and all the platforms. So that's what I started out doing. That's a huge undertaking. I didn't actually realize it was quite that big until I got about 3 days in. And wow, is all I can say. There are a lot of Christmas movies on there, particularly Netflix, have an entire massive section, and a lot of them are really, really awful. So I decided to break it down into categories. The most obvious one, first of all, I thought was kids' movies. And some of these were actually okay. There's one particular animated film on Netflix at the moment called Klaus or Claus, which is just lovely. It's really good fun to watch as an adult and as a child. It was just delightful. I actually really enjoyed that. Another one for the littlies, and this is suitable for kids probably around about 4 or 5, is Angela's Christmas, a story about a little girl who steals a baby Jesus from a nativity scene and takes it home. I mean, obviously there are religious overtones to that, but it's a delightful little story. I cried. It's so sweet, and the animation is just lovely. Then Frozen. Now, Frozen 2 is out in the movies. It's going to be big. A lot of parents are happy that there's something finally to replace Frozen 1. If somehow, by some miracle, you missed the original Frozen, it's on Neon at the moment. So Frozen and Frozen 2 are definitely on my best children's Christmas films list. Looking around, the rest are actually classics. I think A Muppet's Christmas Carol is a must-have for kids at Christmas. Elf, not a particular favourite of mine, but children just adore this film, and that is available on Netflix at the moment. And another film that older kids like, you do have to be a little bit careful with the littlies with this one, is Tim Burton's A Nightmare Before Christmas, which again is animated, stunning film. Interesting take on the story. It's unique. It's one of my favorites. I've deliberately left Home Alone off this list. I don't like it for kids just because of the sheer violence in it. Kids love it. I mean, they do, but you do have to be prepared for some of the tricks that they may play. And a lot of people have said, well, you've got to have like a classic Christmas movie for children. Miracle on 34th Street. I say, no, it's black and white. It's a lovely film, but kids get really bored. If you do want to go down the sort of classic film route for children, I'd say maybe Meet Me in St. Louis. At least it's in colour and there's a bit of singing and dancing and you've got Judy Garland. So at least it might kind of keep them occupied for a wee while. But sadly, I think it comes to great stories. If it's black and white, kids aren't just not that interested anymore.
It's a shame because that is a beautiful film. It's a beautiful, beautiful film, Miracle on 34th Street.
I think it's one for maybe when they're a wee bit older and you can kind of wrap them up as a family and sort of watch it together. But it's certainly not a film you just plonk them down in front of while you're trying to wrap Christmas presents in another room.
Okay, that's the children. What's the next section?
The biggest thing I noticed with these films is a lot of them are what I kind of call candy floss Christmas films. So they're all kind of feel good, nice. A lot of them have a romantic sort of, I mean, they're like the equivalent of beach read movies. The main things I found, they either have a touch of royalty to them. There's some kind of big ball or dance involved. There's usually like a ballad at some point that everybody will dance to. And depending on the age that it's aimed at, it's either like a ball or it's like some kind of bizarre, everybody does a coordinated dance or has a party in like a restaurant or something. It's quite strange. And then it's whether Father Christmas actually appears or not. So these are the things that I've been ticking off in this massive spreadsheet. But the best ones I found were a film on Netflix called Holiday Rush. And interestingly, this is about a DJ that gets laid off just before Christmas and has to go home and tell his really spoiled family that suddenly he's got no job, no income coming in. He's going to sell the house, move them back to a smaller home, downsize everything, and they have to learn to live with what they've got. And it sounds all very ho-hum, family, rah-rah, and it is, but it's actually quite sweet. There's some nice messaging in there. There's some funny moments, you know, the twins want mini horses, and you've got the son who was set to go to Harvard who's throwing a big huff because he doesn't think he can go. And there's nice messaging in there, but there's also some quite nice commentary in there about what's going on in the States at the moment. And it comes from the sub-genre of Christmas films, which are Christmas films for the Black American market. So you kind of have this whole thing going on in the side. There's some gospel at the end, but it was an enjoyable film. One I'm really hanging out to see, and the third in the series comes out tonight, is the Christmas Prince trilogy. We had a Christmas Prince, a Christmas Prince, The Royal Wedding, and tonight it's a Christmas Prince, The Royal Baby Arrives. And it stars a New Zealand actress as well, Rose McIver. She was a peasant who fell in love with a prince, but she didn't know he was a prince from the small, obscure European country, because they always are, and married into this amazing sort of royal lifestyle. It's literally a five-year-old girl's dream come to life, with snow and castles and tiaras and diamonds and dresses. And I mean, it's just ludicrous, but they're quite fun to watch, I must say. Sort of an updated version of that on Neon is a Beauty and the Beast Christmas. And this is all about social media influencers, of all things. And it starts with a woman who's known for loving Christmas all year round. And she is desperate for hits on Instagram, so she dyes her hair and it burns her head. So she can't post for a month because she's so hideous. And her hits drop, so her agent has her stage a fake relationship with another social media influencer who needs more hits. And of course, they kind of fall in love. Or do they? But he's a bad boy and she's the Christmas queen and they shouldn't get on, but they do. But is it just a stunt or is it not? I mean, all of this stuff is ridiculous, but you do kind of get yourself wrapped up in it if you're into this kind of thing. And that, again, has some really nice messaging in it around about what is real, what is not, how fake social media can be. I mean, it's obviously aimed at teenagers. Weirdly, the man, the handsome man in this, turns out to be a solo father. And there's no tragic story about, you know, the mother died or anything like that. It was just, I was young, I got a girl pregnant, she went away, I'm left raising the son, which I've never heard or seen of in this kind of film before. And it was really good to see because it was handled in a really sort of responsible way, which I thought was a great way of handling it. So, you know, well done, Neon, for picking up that film, I think. Vanessa Hudgens tends to be the queen of these Christmas films. She's in about five that I've seen just in the last 48 hours, but she's in The Princess Switch, which is also on Netflix. Let It Snow is this big ensemble piece from them, which is worth seeing. And then imagine Santa Claus had a daughter who went away to college but has to marry Jack Frost, and that's Santa Girl, which is on Neon, which is another kind of fun and utterly ludicrous film, which, you know, if you just want to check out for 90 minutes, is the way to go.
Look, I want to make sure that we get this in before the end, so I'm going to shoot through to the best Christmas films, because this is a category people will have the most opinions on. Sarah, what are your top one, two, three, four, top five, top six you have?
Okay, now I did some research on this. I asked some people in various forums, and then I weighed it myself. The best Christmas films, in my opinion, would be Die Hard. It's not Christmas until I see Hans Gruber falling off the Nakatomi Plaza. Gremlins. Now, I've put that in the list because people keep saying it. I think it's a horrific film at Christmas. I watched it again for the first time for a long time, like last year or the year before. It's so violent. I can't remember it being that violent when I was a child. I was really horrified. So maybe think twice about that, or maybe I've just got more sensitive as I've got older. Mean Girls kept coming up as well. One that I didn't initially connect with Christmas, but then when I watched it again, I thought it is a Christmas film. It's funny, Lindsay Lohan before her problems. It's a good film. Love Actually always comes in these lists, and I have to agree, I like it. A Muppet Christmas Carol is also another must-see Christmas film. And as we talked about earlier, It's a Wonderful Life if you want to go with an absolutely classic Christmas film.
I'm going to throw one in, Sarah, because this is the one that I watch pretty much every Christmas. So many versions of A Christmas Carol, and we'll come back to some of the others. But this is 1977. It's got Michael Hordern as Ebenezer Scrooge. I just love it. To me, it encapsulates that. But I don't know what it is about that story that gets me every blimmin' time I see it, whatever version it might be. But that's
every
my
version
favorite.
But the version with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Jim Carrey. That's horrific. I mean, there are so many children's Christmas movies that are actually really terrifying. And I think like two or three of them, like Jim Carrey in A Christmas Carol and Jim Carrey in Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, those are awful. I would never show those to children. Jack Frost with Michael Keaton, and he's running around as like the snowman who looks just satanic. It's awful. So many of those films just kind of edged over childhood fun to childhood terror. But I guess it's, you know, maybe little children don't notice. You don't notice these things till you get older. But very, very quickly, a film that opens next week that I want to mention, which is all about getting older, is called Happy Ending. And it's directed by a woman called Ella Hellerjuf, I think. It's Danish with English subtitles. And it's about a couple in their 70s. He finally retires. They've been married for sort of 35 years. She's looking forward to finally doing all the things they wanted to do when they retire, travel, relax, have a wonderful life.
Oh, hello, Sarah. I think we might have lost her in full flight. That's not fair, is it, with a minute to go? So Sarah was there reviewing Happy Endings, and we might be able to hear the rest of that review when we get her back. And I should say also, she had more on her list, so I can share them with you. She reckoned the best Christmas horror, Gremlins, Pooka, Rare Exports, Black Christmas, Anna and the Apocalypse on digital. And on TV, Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, No Coat of Many Colours, Home for Christmas, if you have access to it, Merry Christmas Whatever, Sugar Rush and Nailed It, and Christmas Horror for Kids, Gremlins, Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Jack Frost with Michael Keaton, Santa Claus with an E, Scrooged, and Home Alone.